eat a hamster, and get famous. It's Rockstar Ate My Hamster on Amigos, everything Amiga. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Amigos. I'm John.
And I'm Aaron.
And today, Aaron, we're talking about Rockstar Ate My Hamster.
Oh, yes. One of the dumber named games of all time.
You know, in the world of pop music, you've got your famous urban legends of the rock stars of the 70s.
Yeah.
You know, with the Ozzy biting the head off the bat.
Yeah.
Possibly eating the bat.
Yeah.
Led Zeppelin, the Mud Shark incident. I'll let you look that one up.
I don't want to know on that.
And of course, you've got your normal debauchery of the road. Yeah. Do you have a favorite rock urban legend that you've heard before?
You know, to go back to Ozzy, because everyone knows about him biting the head off the bat. Mm-hmm. But I remember hearing this story. I think it was the lead singer Motley Crue was telling it, but that. They were coming in on an airport. I don't know if somebody dared Ozzy to do it or what, but Ozzy had a straw, and they're walking across the tarmac or whatever, and he went over and snorted a line of ants. I guess there was something spilled. It was a bunch of ants. He snorted a bunch of ants.
I love it.
And I thought to myself, there you go.
There's a man I can follow.
Because the bat thing's always a big mistake. They say he didn't mean to do that. It was an accident. He thought it was a rubber bat. Or, of course, everyone's going to bite that up over something they assume is a rubber bat. But the snorting ants, he knew exactly what he was doing there. But, you know, rock stars, if you ever watched any of the rock star documentaries or whatever, they are morons. Mm. And lecherous fiends. Like, I mean, I was talking to my buddy today. And we were thinking about all the people get in trouble for various stuff. Like, they're canceled for life. Like, for sometimes bad, sometimes good things, right? Mm-hmm. But you could cancel, if you really wanted to, you could cancel almost all of rock and roll's greatest legends.
Yeah.
They're almost all scumbags. Yeah. They've been with underage girls. They did tons of illegal crap.
It reminds me of the SNL skit with Bond. You know, where Moneypenny takes him into the room and she's like, here's all the venereal diseases you've given to all these women.
Well, the sad thing is, though, if you're a big enough star and you've been around long enough, I think you can pretty much get away with anything.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so that's the way we deal with
it. Do you think that there's such a thing as bad publicity in the world of rock and roll?
Well, yes. Listen, it's a whole new world. A whole new world. Bad publicity will get you done quick. It doesn't take hardly anything. Mm-hmm. Like, just this week, I'm not going to get into the details of this, but a big-time wrestler, there was a Twitter message going back and forth, and this chick that everyone likes, and they think maybe she was victimized or online, she put an emoji on this chat line, and instantly got this guy super buried. And it happened the same day as the pay-per-view. And he came out to do his match, and the crowd was booing him out of there.
Really?
He was just like, what the heck happened? He didn't even know.
Wow. Well,
it's that quick. And think about it. It's not like you wouldn't think there's some men wrestling fans. They've got their finger on the pulse, but they do. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows everything all the time. So, yes, unlike the old days where you could do a bunch of crazy. Like, can you imagine if something like that with Ozzy happened now? He bit the head off a bat. Holy cow, they'd bury him. You could never do that kind of crap anymore.
Yeah. Do you find yourself personally that when you find out about somebody being a lecherous fiend, does it bring them down in your eyes? Like, for example, Ric Flair. You know, if you found out he was a lecherous fiend.
He is. No, he's absolutely a fiend. And it's, you know, it's tough to separate a character you like. Like, I mean, any big star that you like, mm-hmm. for example, the same thing. And wrestling or whatever, it's tough when you know they did some really heinous crap in real life, you know, but you're a fan of their work, makes it tough. Mm-hmm. You know, we went through this stuff with the Benoit tragedy, and I mean, that was horrific.
Yeah.
There's nothing worse than what he did, you know, to get nothing. But, you know, the guy was at the peak of his profession as a wrestler, but I mean, it ruins, to a certain degree, it ruins their work for you. So it's tough. And rock and roll, you know, if you stop to think about it for too long, you probably shouldn't.
Yeah.
You should probably just think to yourself, it's a good tune. Mm-hmm. And just remember it's one thing everyone needs to remember is when you put somebody on a pedestal like this, you're setting yourself up for a huge disaster and a letdown.
Well said. With all that said, let's move on to this completely serious game, Rockstar Ate My Hamster.
A Rockstar Ate My Hamster.
You'd think a game that was about rock and roll. That's a pretty weird opening.
Oh, yeah. So some sort of like honky-tonk blues
like, burr, going on. Burr, burr, burr.
And then the I found a skull guy from that one game. I found the skull. He's made a cameo appearance saying the title of the game. I mean, what are we doing here?
I forgot about that guy.
Yeah.
My God, you pulled that out of your mind?
I read it on a YouTube comment.
Oh, dang it, but I thought you were... That's twice tonight where I thought you were clever, but you're actually a parrot. Dang it, Boat. What are we doing here, Boat?
Listen, tell us, Aaron, what's going on with this game, Rockstar Ate My
Hamster? Well, you know, gosh, we... This is another of our favorite flashback. Yes, we covered it. It was what's it, 79?
74.
74. Mm-hmm. It was just way back. Man, that was a lot. I watched that show at your bequest. Thanks for that, Boat. But so we thought, so I'm actually glad this one came back up.
Don't watch the original.
Well, no, dude, please go watch that one as soon as you finish this one. This one, Rockstar Ate My Hamster, published in 89 by Codemasters. This one's, you know, Codemasters, is this the kind of game you would expect from Codemasters?
Well, they really did it all, you know.
They did a wide variety.
They were open to all comers. you've got your BMX simulator. You've got your your Dizzy games. You know, you've got your knockoff NES peripherals. They did it all.
This one was coded by Colin Jones. This had a swath of people that worked on it. The graphics, Chris Graham and Brian Hartley. The music on this and sound effects, Alistair Brimble. So you had a quality guy in there, and you also had Colin Jones helping him out.
Also listed as hype man on this game, probably not on your credits there, Mike Clark. Does that name ring a bell?
Mike Clark, should it ring a bell?
I interviewed him in one of our Amigos interview series. He's a very famous 8-bit chiptune and 16-bit chiptune artist. He did a lot of sequencer stuff.
It's funny, I have no recollection of this interview. How was it?
It was good. It was good. He is.
How did you end up getting involved in that?
Well, he was. He gave a talk at Amiga Ireland.
Oh, okay.
And I said, hey, let's talk more. And so we did.
Very good. Very good, Boat. Well, this game made an appearance on several additional machines. As you could look at the game, one would imagine this would be a pretty easy game to stick to place around.
I believe this was a ZX Spectrum original.
It wouldn't surprise me. This also appeared on all the usual suspects, C64, Amstrad, and the Atari ST. I doubt any are better than any of the other ones. I looked at
a lot of them.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, and you're exactly right. This game translates very well to all the platforms. This is a game I was not surprised to find out that it originated on the ZX Spectrum, because this is just the kind of wackiness that the ZX Spectrum brought to the table, you know?
Yeah. So the name of the game is odd, but there's a reason for it. Especially if you're from the UK, you'd probably remember this. We would never have known. March 13th, 86, The Sun. There was a famous headline. Freddie Starr Ate My Hamster was the headline of that particular. You know who Freddie Starr is?
I have no idea.
I don't either. I don't know idea who that is. So if somebody in the chat wants to fill us out on who Freddie Starr is, and I hope he didn't actually eat a hamster. I mean, that would be.
I believe, actually, you know, thinking back to when I was reading, because I did read briefly about this, I think it was something that he said in jest several years beforehand, and then his publicist, in order to kind of bring his star back to the limelight, said, hey, what if you said you ate a hamster?
Guess there you go.
He was back to the top of the charts.
No. Surely not.
They did it to headline his upcoming tour.
A couple of people said he's a TV comedian. Thank you, guys. Wow, what a way to get yourself back over.
Yeah, what would you like to eat to get yourself over?
Not a living thing.
Yeah.
I can tell you that.
Stay
right
away
now.
From the rodents.
No, something processed, I can tell you that. Sorry, Flack. So, this is a unique game in that, I mean, it was unique. I don't know about how unique it is now. But
I think it's still pretty unique now.
This is a game where you inherit 50,000 pounds, I think it was from your aunt, and you decide to go into the music business with your little flunky. The first thing you do in this game is pick out whom you want to manage in the music business. Now, right off the bat, I'll tell you that there's not a whole lot of beating around the bush in this, and there's zero options. It comes up, you play the game. You can load a game, you know, if you want to, you can save your game. Otherwise, it starts up and you play. There's no Psygnosis style intro. Right. There's just a little musical interlude with some of the famous rock stars.
I mean, there is a little animated intro.
Right, but I mean, there's no, like, sophisticated backstory.
Yeah, it's not like the beginning of Lionheart.
This thing, to me, when I play this, when I boot it up, it's like, this, to me, feels like your budget title special, although this was not a budget title. Apparently, this is the full pricer on the Amiga anyway. So, but I mean, otherwise, I would say if this was a budget title, I'd be like, yep, this is a budget title, but it's not. So, once you decide how many people you're going to have in your band, you get to pick from your various people.
Right, so it's worth noting that you can pick 1 to 4 band members.
It's funny. I'd played this millions of times in the past. And I played it a lot more this week. And I mean, you know how it is. You start these games, you play it for like, I played it like 3 hours last night.
Yeah, really, these games take forever to play.
And you can do it while you're watching TV and stuff too, just like you play it. You don't have to pay much attention. But, one of the things I noticed is like how easily you can get your rock stars killed, which that happened. So one of the advantages of having more than one rock star is like you can like take some losses in your band.
I think that's why most bands have more than one person.
Yeah. In real life?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. You know?
How come a lot of bands lose one guy and they're done?
Freak meteorite accident.
Like what happened to Zeppelin, for example? They could have kept going.
I think they got freaked out.
Oh, remember Spinal Tap?
Yeah.
Wasn't it the drummer that kept dying?
Yeah, there was Stumpy Joe. there was Peeps. It was one of them. They just keep rolling.
So once you decide how many people you want in your band, it's time to pick your people. Now, it's funny, on the old show, I quizzed you on every single guy in the band. I'm not doing that again.
It was riveting entertainment.
It went on forever and ever. But, I mean, these are 80s. Stars.
Mm-hmm. All right. We should talk a little bit about how this game is presented, because you said the game itself gets right into the game.
Right.
But if you purchased this game legally,
yeah,
you got a lot of the backstory through the instruction manual, which I printed out here in all of its glory. This is essentially a full newspaper, including a mock TV guide, a funny page. There's classified ads. There's the actual instructions of the game, which are the centerfold. And then there's more. There's horoscopes, even a crossword and a sports page.
I love it.
They've done all of this to make up for the fact that the game contains virtually no content once you get going.
That's true.
But it does allow you to kind of fully immerse yourself within this world. It's a very Mad Magazine esque world, or maybe a Spitting Image, I guess, is the UK equivalent, where you have all these characters in caricature, and everything is like the real world, but slightly off and funny.
I did flip through the PDF of that, and it is cute.
Mm-hmm.
It is. I like when games. I mean, it's something.
Well, it's very similar to if you ever played Leisure Suit Larry, I believe 3. Which was the In Pursuit of Passionate Patty. It was set on an island, like a vacation island, and the whole manual was a brochure, a travel brochure for the island. So I like when they do stuff like that.
We played a flight simulator one time that had it was in magazine form. I'm telling you, I can't remember what it was. So very clever, but yeah, he's right. Once you get past that, you're into the game proper. Now, again, I'm not going to go every single guy in the game, but there's a ton of people in this game. And they're all based on real people. I'm going to use some examples here. There's a guy named Rick Astley. That's Rick Astley. There's Madonna. That's Madonna. I like Scratch and Sniff. Mm-hmm. It's one of my favorites. And it's a two-headed person in the game. That's Salt and Peppa. You get the picture. There's actually some fairly obscure. There's some people
obscure
here.
Obscure to us.
Well, I mean, for example, like they've got Susie Sue and here's Susie the Banshees. I don't know how big, I didn't know how big a band.
Well, this was 1989.
Right, but I mean, they weren't what I would call a huge band here. I didn't know if they were huge in the UK or not. I don't know. I guess they were pretty big.
I think they were.
And some people, there's a few of these I just don't know.
Right.
So they did never made
them. I mark all those down to cultural differences.
Like, it's funny, on the old show, you had no idea who Brian Ferry was.
I still don't know who he
is. But that's my point. It's just a guy.
Right.
Like, Michelle Girard.
Oh,
like,
that's Jean-Michel Girard.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah, I know him.
Do you know him?
Yeah.
Anyway, there's a ton of people. Meatloaf, Eddie Grant. That's another rare, because they only had one hit in America. Gary Glitter. Anyway, I could go on. There's a million of these guys.
I believe there's about 50 total.
Yeah, and it's funny, because as I look over this list, you flip through their little caricatures in the game to pick them.
Well, what you do is you go to the screening room.
Yeah.
Okay, and you're flipping on a TV. This is not a budget title. There's way too many art assets in this to make this a budget title.
They're not huge, and they're not super detailed. They're pretty detailed.
You can tell who they are.
This is
not a budget title through the art alone. You go in and you pick your guys, and then the game starts in earnest.
Yeah. So when you first start your band, so you've got, let's say you pick four people. By the way, my go-to band was Ringo Starr, George Michael, Meatloaf, and Whitney Houston.
Okay. Now, we should talk about why you'd want to choose the guys that you choose. So you don't just, there's more to the game than just choosing four guys. Each star has a certain salary that must be paid every week.
Right.
And maybe part of the reason why we don't recognize everybody in this game is they had to get some low-rent guys to fill out the roster.
Well, they're okay? lower-rent guys. I reckon, like Lemmy, he's one of the lower-rent guys. I knew who he was. Yeah. Alice Cooper.
Yeah, so I did think it was interesting how they determined who the low-rent guys were.
Do you know the lowest-rent guy in the whole game?
I don't. Who is it?
I'm looking here, but I think it's Gary Glitter.
Well, that makes sense.
I would not book Gary Glitter at this point.
He's not going to draw.
He's out.
Yeah.
He's been canceled before cancel was a thing.
And so you want to, what I tried to do was I tried to pick one low baller and one high. And I always put two guys in my band. The best I ever played was I had Boy George, AKA By George, low rent, and then Wacko Jacko.
Michael Jackson.
Yeah. Because I found that when I added more guys, I would have to spend more money early on to keep them satisfied.
It's funny. I made so much money early I've used the same band like over and over.
Mm-hmm.
I never had a problem with running out of money except for the very first game where I forgot what I was doing. Mm. You know, so that wasn't a huge deal. So once you pick your guys, then it's time to pick their gear. You can go with, and I guess, you know, you never get a chance to upgrade the gear. So I don't know how much this matters.
I don't know how much this matters is the theme of this game.
In the old show, we compared this to the WWF game we played, and there are some similarities. It's just a little more idea of what you're doing. But you could pick, like, dodgy gear, like
secondhand
gear or new gear.
Right.
And the thing is, early on in the game, the money matters, you know. And so I always usually pick, the secondhand gear.
Yeah, right in the middle.
And then, okay, so then what would you do? Well, you have choices. You can book a gig, or you could practice. Or you could save your game. Early on, there's not a ton. You can do publicity.
Right.
There's not a ton of things you can do early on.
Mm-hmm.
And so once you... So what I always did was spend some time practicing. Now there's a calendar in this game. And as the days go by, the calendar flips through. And every week, you pay your guys every week. You got to pay everyone in your band. Like Boat said, if you've got like Michael Jackson's the most expensive guy in the game, you're going to pay. So you're paying 18 G's a week for him. You know,
The game, just to set up, the game has a set timeline. It always starts on January 1st, and it always ends on December 31st. So you have a full calendar year to achieve four record hits.
You need that time for the hits, but man, that's a long year.
It's a long time.
So once you have practiced, or if you want, you don't have to, then it's time to book a gig. And we'll get into publicity here in a second. So you can book a gig. I think it's four different places.
Yeah, bars, clubs, universities, and concert halls and stadiums. So it's five.
And so, of course, your first gig, you're not going to book a stadium, and then you can set the prices and how many dates. The funny thing about how many dates you work, I mean, who's going to work 5 dates at the university or 7? I mean, does anyone do 7 dates in a place? What,
the way that I justified it in my own mind was that they'd go to a city and they'd go to 5 different universities in that city.
I see. Or maybe seven different coliseums.
Right, right. Now, you can do, there are shows that are, you know, like 5 nights in Vegas, right, stuff like that.
But seven?
Yeah, not common.
Yeah,
not common.
No. So, you get to pick, number one, how much you're going to charge, all the way from £5 up to 20, I think, mm-hmm, is the highest. And then you can pick how many nights. 2, you have to do at least 2, up to 7.
Right.
And then it'll show your 2 goofs on the tour bus, and the days will click by, and it'll show off. Yeah.
Now, there's a couple of sections in this game where I really feel like they dropped the ball.
Yeah.
This is one of those sections. Because you've got this band. You've put them together. You've seen their headshots. They look like who they are. You've seen the beginning of the game where they have these full profiles of these guys. They do not show your band on stage at all in this game. What you get is that you, who are the boss, and your crony sitting in the front seat of the bus, and then the tops of the heads of your band in the back.
Yeah,
and
then barely see
them. Yeah, and then you see them disappear off the bus and get back on the bus.
Yeah.
Huge dropping of the ball.
And then you will also hear the crowd.
Yeah.
Sometimes you hear like sort of like booing, and sometimes you'll hear anything, mm-hmm, and sometimes you'll hear like cheering.
And that gives you some sort, besides ticket sales, that gives you some sort of a way to gauge how you're doing.
And you're going to want to look, like when you book a place to play, you're going to want to look and see how many people with seats.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're going to play, like, if you decide, I'm going to play 5 days at the university, and I think the university is about 5,000 seats, something like that, you better darn well cut the ticket price. Because
mm-hmm,
people, they're not going to come 5 days for $20. You're going to cheap out a little bit.
Right.
Get paid more.
The idea is the strategy, the quote-unquote strategy behind the game is balancing how many tickets can you sell at what price.
Right.
And so if you're selling out the university, well, maybe you want to move up to the stadium, but then you've got to adjust the ticket price to, maybe you've got to increase it, maybe you've got to decrease it. Where this game, again, another place where it falls flat, is it gives you virtually no feedback on what you're doing and whether you're doing a good thing or not. You basically can see over the course of time, okay, we're getting close to selling out, so I can either raise the ticket price or move to a new venue or both.
And then sometimes consistency is also an issue. So here was the pattern I got into that I had the best luck. By the way, I didn't beat the game. Or
I can tell you exactly how far I got because I wrote it down.
Okay, so what usually happened to me was all my guys would be killed. That's how I lost every game except for one. So what I started doing is, especially when we haven't gotten the records, but we will, there's a button that's for publicity. You've got really 2 different outcomes on this when you hit it. Either one, there'll be a topless chick and a headline that's got nothing to do with you. Mm-hmm. That's bad. That means you didn't get any publicity. Then you'll get, or you'll get a headline with one of your bandmates in the title, and that's good publicity. But sometimes it'll be a headline where one of your band members has been killed or kidnapped by aliens or struck by lightning or something, and then they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
So they're out of the band. And so that's bad because you can run. And so this is what killed me, because you have to hit that publicity button a lot. Especially when you've got an album up to try to, it's hard as heck to hit a number one hit. You really have
to go nuts on it. You don't have a gauge for publicity.
Yeah.
You have no way of knowing how much your publicity is affecting your album sales. This game does give you a chart for sales in the lower right. I'm guessing that that's a combination of your singles and your album sales, because you can make both. You make an album, but then you also release singles.
Yeah. Let's get into that.
Okay.
So, as your band grows, you will eventually get a phone call, and it'll be from a record company wanting to sign you. Now, the first couple calls you get, they'll sign you for like $1,000 up front, and like 5% of the profits. So it's real crappy. I always held out until I was getting like, I think you can get like 20% and $20,000 up front, because there's a point where they just stop calling.
Right. And then you can't make a record. Yeah, you got to restart the game.
So then once you sign a deal, you get an extra option on the menu, which is produce a record. All right. And so when you produce a record, you can produce four different types of records.
Mm-hmm.
One from, I think it's like like a two tracks all the way up to got a ton of tracks.
Right. And again, you have no idea if this makes any difference whatsoever, what is better than the other. You can play this game a million times and still not be able to figure it out.
I assume that, so the albums I always made were the biggest ones. All right, because at this point I already had money built up. And so then there's some interactivity in the game. This is where you've got, first of all, you could name, we forgot to mention, you can name your band if you want. Or
but they come up with wacky names.
Their names are great.
Yeah, the name of my band was the Nonstop Alien Mood Orchestra.
Oh, that's good.
Which is great.
That's good. So once you get to the point where you're making albums, you can name every single song on the album and name the album if you want.
Yeah, and you get to hear what the track sounds like, too.
And then, but the problem is that they just sound like generic 5-second
noise.
Like,
it's better than, how many games have we played with no sound?
Well, I mean, yes. But I mean, this game, I would love to see like a modern versus, we actually have some crazy bands, got some wacky random tracks, you know.
That would be fun.
So anyway, once you cut your tracks, then you've got all your track lists. Then you get the option to start to either release tracks off the album or release the entire album. Mm-hmm. Now, this is also a realm where you're on your own. How many tracks should you release? Don't know. Is it better to release the whole album? Don't know. Like, so I tried to do it like I would in a real studio, because you know me, I know how to do music.
And so, like last time you made an album and released it at the
point. It didn't do well, but Aaron's Polka Classics died. So I would pick a song and release it. Now then they're like, hey, do you want to make a video for your song? Of course you do. Then you could get the best director. You can get the best, you can pick where you want to film it. All this stuff costs more money. So if you want the number one director, and they've got fake directors for real people too, and where you want to film it, I think there's four locations. It's like Linwood, Hollywood,
Pinewood,
and then like Acapulco or something like that, or Honolulu. And then you also get to pick what kind of video it is. I don't know if this makes any difference at all. It could be hot women or sexy dudes or aliens or
and they even vampires. Have their like stupid cartoons and like, why would you choose that?
And so then you've got a video. Mm-hmm. Okay, does it help? I guess.
And again, do you get to see the video?
No.
Another dropped ball.
You also don't know how much does it help you to make a video?
Who knows?
You know, this thing needs analytics big time.
Yeah.
The only analytics you've got are sales.
Here's the thing. I want to make a point at this point in the review. This game, of all the games we played, could have best benefited from the old King of Chicago treatment. Okay?
Okay.
Because one of my main faults with King of Chicago was it needed more analytics. But guess what? It really didn't, because it was a great game. Because it gave you all these different avenues to pursue.
Yeah.
What this game needs is that same branching pathways where no two games are the same, and fill it out with art assets. Fill it out with little animated clips. Fill it out with little mini games, a tuning the guitar mini game, something like that.
It needs something.
Right.
It has, like, it's fun-ish.
Yeah.
Like, I loved this game when I was younger, but it's the kind of game you play for, like, an hour.
Well, the problem with this game, the main problem that I have, everything else aside, everything else is forgivable, is that you get to the point where you're just waiting to die. Because you've got plenty of money.
Yeah.
Okay. You've got your album out. You can put singles out. You can make videos. But unless you get that publicity, your sales are not going to go up. And whenever you roll for publicity, you can always botch, and then it's game over.
Yeah.
And so what you're doing is essentially the game turns into a game of chance where can you get enough publicity to get a gold record before one of your members is killed? Maybe that's how the real music business works. I don't know.
And sometimes you'll play like, they'll ask you to do a charity gig.
Right.
So you would be like, I always want to do that for the publicity. But sometimes you end up raising money for like a cult or something. It's
exactly.
Something bad.
Exactly.
And it screws you. So even that's a random chance.
Right. Which is fine. I don't have a problem with that, because at least that doesn't knock you out of the game.
Right. Exactly.
But again, without a publicity meter, it's all meaningless, because you have no idea where you stand. What you need is a SimCity-like thing where you've got the bar like in the middle, red and blue or green or whatever, and you can chart your progress and publicity along with
it. I wish what would be... You know, remember on Amigos one time, we played this game where you were like... I remember the game because you went to these different buildings, and each building had a different department. you'd go into, and it would be like, this would be the analytics. This would be like the scientific part. That's what this game needs. You need someone that says, like, okay, if you pay this analytics department $20,000, they'll tell you which of these names are gelling well with the public.
That's a fantastic idea because you need more stuff to spend your money on in this game.
And the video, like, what video should I pick? Is it random? I don't know.
Right.
What if someone could give me a clue? Hey, you know, we're right now, like, bikini chicks are hot.
Right.
Okay, bam, let's get some bikini chicks in there.
Exactly.
Or, like, which of these directors is on fire?
Each turn, you have the opportunity to visit one of these experts, and that's part of the game is, like, who do I go to? What's my top priority?
Right.
I feel like we could remake this game and make it completely awesome.
Something else. Like, you're always on this tour bus, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I've got $8 billion. Right. How about upgrading the bus?
How about I get a jet?
Yeah, how about stuff happens when you're touring?
Right.
Anything. Yeah. Oh, man, what are my guys is missing?
Right.
You ever seen, what was that great movie?
Almost Famous.
Almost Famous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm a golden god. Like, that crap happened.
Exactly.
You know, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like, more rock and roll stuff.
Right.
You get to a point in this game where you can buy to keep your rock band happy, buy them gifts. I bought them all the best gifts. Okay, that they're solid. I've got all the publicity that I can get. I'm always getting it.
And here,
I've got the best at video. I've got the best everything. I'm making money. Like, now what do I do? Rinse and repeat. And then you just watch the charts and hope your album can move up.
Right. Here, and the thing is that they give you all the options right up front. What they should have done is the first time you're buying stuff for your guys, it's like, comic books, cup of coffee, nice meal. Don't give me the car right up front that I can buy right away.
Yeah.
You know,
also, more interaction with the band.
Yeah.
Like, the band should be throwing, like you said, they've got all these little portraits. They don't do anything with them.
And here's the thing.
How about, like, Stevie Wonder being like, hey, I'm sick of Whitney Houston here.
Right.
I need her out of the band or
because
I'm walking.
They do complain, but they always complain through your assistant. Hey, boss, Stevie Wonder says, Stevie Wonder's right there in the back of the tour bus. Make him say it.
Yeah. With all that said, because we do this a lot these days. We never did this back in the day because we've been doing this for a while. We know what we like more. You know, this game is as is, without any additional stuff added, is a fun, amusing diversion with amusing caricatures, and it is sort of rock and roll fun.
Yeah.
It is fun to watch the charts.
Mm-hmm.
The other bands on the charts have great names.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're all funny. The
songs
are funny.
And you hear little clips of the song as they come up there. All that stuff is great.
There is some rhyme or reason to the charts. Songs just don't debut at number one. They climb the charts.
Right.
They fall. You know when it's time to release a single. By the way, the second you release a next single, whatever position your other single is gone.
Right.
You never get two singles on
the
charts.
Yeah, it's not like real life where the Beatles were like in the top five positions at one point.
And until you release your full album, and by the way, you can continue to release singles after you release the album. Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
I don't know if that makes a difference or not.
Right. Did you ever get any of the platinum?
No. In fact, my top chart position was number 8.
Oh, God.
Was number 8. Dancing with the Pope was the name of the song. And I made it all the way to August 25th before my members died. So
I got to number 2.
Wow. Now, did you save scum with the? Because you can save scum. You can save your game, do publicity.
I never did that. I thought that'd be lame. I didn't look at the date because I didn't think I was going to die, and then I did. But my best game, I got all kinds of songs to number 3 and 4.
Oh, that's great.
I got one to number 2. I think it was called Smell My Armpit.
Mm-hmm.
A beautiful love ballad.
Yeah.
my album, I could never get my album in the top 5 ever. There's something there to it. Now, I know this game can be beaten because I saw some videos of people getting 4 platinum albums and beating it. So I'm sure it's just a matter of finding the formula that the game wants you to have.
Right.
That's not even the issue. The issue of the game is it's rinse and repeat for too long.
It gets very dull.
And going for a whole year, I would kill myself. It's just too long.
Yeah.
And with nothing going on, it's over and over and over. It's like Cookie Clicker, but not as fun.
Mm-hmm.
And so, is this one that I'm going to say everyone should run out and play? It's not. Everyone should try out for a half hour? Yeah.
I was going to say, I think that everybody should try this game. You know, it is unique, and it's sort of the ancestor to all of the, like, game developer, Sims, and, you know, all of the things, like the game that you guys played on ARG, that went in the mobile game.
Yeah.
You know, this is sort of the roots of that kind of experience.
One would wonder, I know they made a Java version of this. One would wonder if this, so a game of that just basically ripped this off, or maybe this game actually got to the phones. This could be a phone game, would still be a pretty limited.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you could play this on practically anything.
Mm-hmm.
You could use a keyboard or mouse on this, but mm-hmm. it's just, all you're doing is just picking options on menus. Yeah. You're not doing anything. There is, like you said, there's zero mini games. There's no creative anything past the premise.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a bummer, if yeah. I'm honest. Now, I did find a few reviews of this boat, if you'll indulge me
sure.
here. Oh, I should. We almost, it's funny, we didn't talk about the elephant in the room. So, this game had nudity in it.
Oh, yeah.
When you got bad publicity, or basically no publicity, there would be a page two girl? Mm-hmm. Is that what they were?
Page something.
And they would show up on the screen with a dumb headline that had nothing to do with you.
Mm-hmm.
And then that would be a bad publicity round for you. I think this got them in trouble, because I read that this got pulled because someone complained about the nudity. Or someone complained about nudity in the game, and I didn't see any other nudity, so I'm assuming it was that nudity.
Yeah, and you can't really miss it. It's there.
And it's there all the time.
Right, right.
And the funny thing is, it's sort of pointless.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways.
Well, I mean, here's what I would have done.
Yeah.
Okay, because this game is a cheeky game. You know, it's cheeky. Okay. You sneak something like that in, maybe one out of every 50 times they show you.
Like
you come
beach
up,
volley?
Yeah, like beach volley, you know. You sneak it in, and that way it's harder when somebody calls a complainer, like, I don't know what you're talking about. Why don't you try and play it, and they can't pull it up, you know.
Yeah, so according to what I read on Mobi, they've got this written down here, an irate parent had taken objection to one of the jokes in the spoof newspaper included in the box.
Mm.
And so that's so it'd be exactly what you've got there in your mm-hmm. hand.
Yeah. Well, there. I mean, there's some.
And so W.H. Smith pulled this from their shell.
Interesting.
So there you go. So it wasn't even the nude woman at all, according to this.
Yeah. Well,
I had heard another rumor that it was the nude woman. So you can take that as you want. I've read that somewhere else. Review wise, how did this do? Well, Lemon gives it 7.35, 73%. The Games Machine gave this an 80. ASM gave it a 75. And Amiga Joker, whom you would expect to pound this thing, one of the highest Joker scores ever recorded, a 71.
Wow.
So it was big. This was big in Germany.
Big in Germany.
And so there you go. I don't know. Did we get any action on the Discord?
Lots of action this week.
Really? On this one, huh?
Yeah, our first review comes from Spinny108. He says, Rockstar Ate My Hamster was inspired by a UK newspaper headline which was created by an evil human being who I will not mention. Is a spoof to generate interest in an aging comedian's poor-selling tour? It worked! A music-based management game, start off with some money, hire up to four musicians or singers, buy dodgy instruments off the back of a lorry, practice gig, rehearse records, and climb the charts while listening to plinky-plonky music until they all die by curious means as part of a publicity stunt. You get your choice of 52 rock stars from all genres, each with a price. Be careful who you choose, or bankruptcy is only a week away. Playing this after many years, I chose Rick Gastly, Frank Zipper, Stiff Pilchards, and Dorsey.
Man, I'd be avoiding that concert like a plague right there. Holy cow.
And I named my new 80s boy band Special Brew, sure to hit the big time with a mixture of Europop, strangeness, religion, and misery. Where could it go wrong? Practice, sell out clubs, hear the crowd cheering, then wonder why Dorsey wants a 90,000-pound laser show just as we get to play our first university gig. Buy the band drinks to keep them happy, practice more, eventually get a great record deal, sell out stadiums, and then release a record. Stumble into the charts with whatever you with songs like Whenever You Need Hot Rats, then think publicity is great until Frank Zipper dies in a nuclear war.
Yeah.
Sales drop out of the charts and rebuild. Release another single, release another album, rinse and repeat until September comes and I give up as every single struggles and everyone meets their maker after already eating hamsters and punching bishops in a desperate attempt to boost sales. In seriousness, though, I played this a lot as a kid and I think I got two gold discs at most. I have no idea if this is a goal. If there's a golden formula for being successful, it becomes very samey after a short while. As a 15-year-old in 1988, the ability to name all your singles after very rude words appealed to me. The laddish humor wasn't lost on a teenager, and I enjoyed my time with the game. I would have given it 7 Rick Astleys out of 10. As a 50-year-old, I look at it with a slight smirk and reminisce of years gone by. I had an hour or so of nostalgia with it tonight, but I can only give it 3 Frank Zappas out of 10.
Ouch.
As a footnote, I found an updated Millennium version for the Spectrum with new rock stars.
That's what the Happy was saying in the chat.
I looked through the list and only recognized a few of them. I'm old.
What if they were updated their portraits as well?
I was going to say, if it was Millennium Edition, those singers are already retro by this point. Yeah. So.
That's a good point, Boat.
Lord Soup says, Spin said it better than I could. There's lots of silly fun to be had, but when you try to get good at it, there's nothing to get good at. It always seems to behave in the same way. 6 out of 10 short term, but only 2 out of 10 once you're bored of the silliness and actually try to play this game for skill. And finally, not finally, we've got a couple more. Lobsterminator writes, this may have been my first foray into the tycoon or management genre. At its core, it's a simple game. You recruit one or more music artists into your act, train them to a decent skill level, and release singles, albums, and videos while avoiding random scandal events. What makes this game special is the humor and spitting image style caricatures of 80s pop stars. It was beautifully naughty and irreverent for my preteen sensibilities. I also loved how the playing of the band got better with practice, from dissonant notes to nice little pop tunes. This is a classic for me personally, but it needs more depth to be a really good management game. 7.5 out of 10. And finally, Petzl, KZ9Zap, says, I think that with more playtime, Rockstar Ate My Hamster could become a personal hit. Having no prior knowledge of the game, and having now only a limited engagement, that seems as unlikely as a comeback career by Sidney Starbuckle's parody namesake. I did not initially know that turning down too many record contracts offers results in no way to or results in no way to record an album.
Which is dumb, by the way.
Which is necessary to eventually finish the game. Learning this after an hour of play is disheartening, enough that I'm ready to step away. If the next game were not around the corner, yes, I would return to Rockstar Ate My Hamster, but I was not drawn into the gameplay enough to revisit it in the near future. By that time, Rock and Roll, both parts 1 and 2, will be dead, and more of the parodied stars in this game will have gone supernova.
Yeah. And two things. One, and Partho just mentioned this, the topless girl that appears, page 3 girl, he says, he mentioned Samantha Fox. It does look like a parody of Samantha Fox. I never thought about it, because she's got sort of a famous shot.
Well, I think there were lots of those girls that had
right, but I mean,
shots.
This looks like they cartoonified her. Mm-hmm. So I think you might be onto something there. And secondly, if you want to pick this one up, Boat, there's none available right now on the old eBay, but I did see these going in the little case, the flop with the little case. So I guess the little magazine would be included for around $19 bill. Mm-hmm. So what do you think, Boat? Is this one that we can give the thumbs up to?
I give it a thumb sideways. Give it a try. Appreciate it for the sort of a new concept that it was, but don't expect too much.
Indeed.
If you ask any Amiga repair technician what the most problematic component of a motherboard is, they'll undoubtedly mention capacitors. The electrolytic capacitors that shipped with the Amiga are 30 years old or older at this point, and each one is a ticking time bomb waiting to explode battery acid all over your motherboard, sometimes damaging it irrevocably. Don't wait. Replace your capacitors now. Full capacitor kits for every Amiga model are available now at retrorewind.ca. Don't want to attempt the repair yourself? Use their white glove recap service and leave the intricate removal and soldering process to the professionals using industry standard equipment. Use the promo code AMIGOS10 at checkout and save 10% off your cap kit or service. Remember, make retrorewind.ca your first stop for all your Commodore computer needs.
Amiga News.
You know, Aaron, we've been away from the news for a while.
Yeah, we have.
And so we got a couple stories to catch up on. The first one comes to us from our buddy Neil over at Indie Retro News. He's talking about a new game called Neon World. Okay? This is a game that was a project by this the coder here. I'm trying to see about who this is. Oh boy, looks like Kobor is the name of him. This is a game that's written entirely with Visual Studio Code with an Amiga assembly plugin. He wanted to do a project that would use the full PAL resolution. Remember, so many games have that bottom part cut off for the benefit of the NTSC folks. He got Kevin Saunders. Remember that guy? The guy that keeps beating out BarkBit for the true crown of music champion?
Yeah. That guy's got, he does put out some good tunes.
He does. This is a game, I would say it kind of looks like a early version of something like a Scramble or, it's one of these corridor horizontally scrolling shooters.
This all comes down to the controls, but this looks, this looks like something that would score around on the ZX to me. Sort of remind, I mean, if you have total control, that's what it looks like. But I mean, so far, obviously they're still work in progress. There's nothing shooting at this guy. If the enemies were coming out, this would probably be pretty interesting. It's a good look, though. Mm-hmm. I like the idea. I like a game like this that you don't see that often on a modern. Mm-hmm. I mean, we don't see these on a modern machine, but we didn't catch too many of these in the 16 bits. Mm-hmm. So this looks like it might be pretty good. What was that language you said this was done in?
This is Visual Studio Code.
See, I don't know what that is.
Well, I think Visual Studio is something that Microsoft makes. And then you use a plugin, the Amiga assembly plugin. So maybe this is something that allows for cross-platform development. Check it out. Saberman, of course, is there, like he's always there on day one with the footage.
Yeah.
Looks pretty good.
Yeah. Look, it doesn't have one that's going to be released, does it?
No, this is still early on, I guess.
Yeah, but it's looking good so far.
Next up is this game is now available. This was we might have talked about this a little bit earlier on. This is a game called Spheroid.
Oh, man.
Puzzle game that has now been released.
Look at that title screen. Look at all that.
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
It's a lot going on.
I'm going to have a printout of that if I post it on my wall.
This is a game that is your classic puzzle game where you are a sphere that's rolling around these blocks, and you interact with the different colored bricks that make up your floor to achieve different goals. This is this does not look like a game that I would enjoy. I'm frustrated just watching this guy play it. There's a lot going on. If you've got a better brain than I do, and you can negotiate these puzzles, this looks like something would be right up your alley. Features ray traced loading and ending screens. 4 in-game tunes. I always appreciate that. 50 levels with increasing difficulty and a passcode system. He's really done the homework here to make sure he's got something that is a very playable game. You never know, Aaron. This one might show up for us in the near future. It looks like this is another one of these name-your-own-price games over on Itch. I should probably say who this is by. This is Andy Vasey.
So you can see if you look on the right where it says safe, and it's got two colors.
Right.
And you can go only on those. That's mm-hmm. the puzzle part.
That's the puzzle part.
See, look, I got it pretty quick.
Well, I mean, that's why you're a genius.
Oh, have you ever done any ray tracing? Have you ever ray traced anything?
Oh gosh, no.
We should ray trace like something for the show.
Okay, how do you do it?
I don't know.
Hand scanner you've got?
No. Ray tracing. It's like the computer. The computer does it all. Like you say, you set some parameters up.
You just say ball.
I used to have this gimmick on the Amiga. It would be like. A ray trace like a mountain scene or something like that.
Oh, it's like AI. It knows what a mountain is.
It just sort of makes it up.
How does it make it up?
I mean, you've set some parameters. Like, I want like 5 peaks or whatever. It's
not really. Like, it knows. It can understand English.
I'm not even sure
that
was ray trace. It might just be. Well, you don't just hold up a microphone.
Well, you type it in. If you type in mountain with 5 peaks,
And
that's so far ahead of the curve.
It'll render it. You see, and then you just kick back. We could render some crap, right? And then we could be like. We could say like this guy did, like we rendered the opening and the closing.
How many words were in his dictionary? Is this a weird science situation?
I mean, wait a minute, back up for a minute. You don't just be like, I want a fuzzy yellow ball and it makes it. You have to it's a thing that specifically makes like scenic mountains and stuff. That's all it does.
Oh.
It doesn't make.
I was going to say, man, this sounds like the best thing ever. How did I never?
Even Brent remembers playing it. He said so in the chat. So, yeah, but anyway, I was thinking when he said that about the ray tracing, I'm like, man, we should ray trace something. Because everyone talks about ray tracing. Like it was the king dong of stuff, but we never ray traced nothing. So, we should try ray tracing. That could be something we do at Amigathon. Who can ray trace? That we've got 12 hours. We can just start the ray trace early and just walk away. That'd be kind of cool.
We should. I talk about a crowd that would know what they were doing, too.
They would mock us incessantly.
All right. So, anyway, Spheroid, check it out. Next up, Buddha plus one.
Oh.
That's right, Aaron. This? Now, Aaron, I know that you're all the time adding IDE ports to your big box Amiga.
I can't get enough. Also, I don't have a big box Amiga, but if I had one, I can't get enough.
The Buddha is an IDE controller for Amiga computers with Zorro slots. This is the brand new version available at the end of this month, January 31st. It's a 99 euros. And Aaron, for the first time, you can plug this in and it will not destroy your Amiga if you plug it in the wrong way.
It's keyed in some way?
It's keyed in some way, okay?
Is there a previous version that you can blow up your Amiga
I believe
with?
That was all of the previous versions, okay?
Oh, my God.
I'd be done
with the Amiga instantly. I'm like, I'm out.
In addition to that, it adds a compact flash slot, IDE ports, a mega fast memory, and a GUI-based settings tool. No futzing around with dip switches or command prompt
is
crap.
Is any part of the opening or closing of this thing ray trace? I want to know.
Maybe so. So, guys, I know there's a lot of hardware folk out there. This doesn't seem like a crazy expensive piece of kit.
This is for the big box Amigas.
That's right. And, you know, lots of people like hooking up their drives. Maybe this might work with one of those but what was the Stephen Foster thing? What was the thing he made? The case.
Yeah.
Checkmate. Listen, throw a couple of these in the Checkmate, call it a day.
Two of them in there?
That's right. Two CD-ROM drives.
You know, 99 euros for anything. I don't care what
right.
it does.
It's a bargain.
You should probably buy
it. It's like they're paying you
to
take it.
It's like you're stealing it from them. Quick, get it. That's a good deal. It may blow up your Amiga, but hey, it's only $100.
And finally, Aaron, our last story of the week. This came across my YouTube feed here. This is a guy's attempt.
Oh, yeah. I know this guy.
Of building. You've heard of the 8-bit
man shed. The 8-bit man shed. Yeah, I've caught this guy. Yeah, oh, yeah.
So he's got one of these re-Amigas. I think the Figgy, one of our longtime listeners.
This isn't what John Marshall's got, is it?
I think it might be, but I think he may have the 500 version.
I'm going to ask him tomorrow night. He's going to stop by and give me my Christmas gift.
Really?
Yeah.
He's stopping by.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
He works in Hurricane.
Oh, yeah, I forgot he works in Hurricane. So anyway, you know, sometimes I like watching these videos because this is something that I would never, ever attempt in a million years.
Yeah.
And watching this guy take all the precautions, dropping all the chips, all of his custom chips in their proper places, doing the soldering, all the traces, adding the keyboard. He does it all in an hour and 29 minutes. Footage may be compressed.
Oh, my gosh. That's a long video, eh?
This is, again... You know, if you're looking for something Amiga-related to throw on as you're doing other things, can't go wrong with the old 8-bit man shed.
You know, you reminded me. Remember I told you I had this story I want to talk about? It was really interesting.
I remember. What was it?
I remembered it just now. It's over here. So there's a video up. I think his name is CRG. I'm going to look for it real quick because this is sort of, I actually watched this thing. This guy put a SID chip in his Amiga. Have we ever talked about that before? Is somebody doing that?
No.
So this guy, I wish I could find it. I'll just talk about it, and I'll put it in the show link. So they've got a new gimmick out that lets you take a SID chip and then put it in one of the slots in your Amiga.
How do you do that? With a hammer?
No, it's got a dadgum circuit board with a socket on it, and you just stick a SID in that sucker. There's some magic circuitry of some sort. It's not that big.
Does it take a Pi Zero or anything?
It takes nothing. I don't think. Maybe it does. I don't remember. But anyway, you plug this thing into your Amiga, and then the guy was loading up SID tunes like on the thing.
That's
cool. It was playing with the chip.
Could you imagine being able to double stack it, put the Paula in there and the SID, have them work hand in hand?
That would be cool. I wouldn't say working hand in hand. Maybe they could.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You know, but then,
You get that pan flute from Shadow of the Beast.
You need the Paula when the SID's in there.
Awesome. You need the...
But you got the extra coolness of the stuff that Paula can do.
Right.
Then you get the SID cranking up the actual computer music that it can do. You're right. You might have something there,
folks. It's the ultimate computer.
That is something, as a musical man, you could get into.
I feel like it would only take me a couple minutes to figure out how it works on a technical level.
Can you imagine you trying to even install that? By the way, you think you could put this one in back or two. That's a thing. Did they no one consider that when they...
I blew up the Famicom I got for Christmas, by the way.
How?
I plugged an NES adapter into it. I just figured it would work without checking.
What's an NES? What do you mean an NES? You mean an NES adapter to play NES games on your Famicom?
No, my brother gave me a Famicom.
Right, an actual Japanese Famicom. Right.
And I took my power supply from the NES.
Oh, no.
And I was like, it fits in there.
So here's the thing. Don't fret. Because I've heard that dumb fools have done that in the past. But I think you could just like change out like a fusey thing.
Okay,
in a word.
Well, good. Because that was the move one. Was I opened the present, went downstairs, plugged it in, and blew it up.
What is it with you and power supplies?
I don't.
Why do you keep doing that?
I don't understand how they work. I feel like if it fits in the thing.
Then you blow up the Spectrum like that?
Yeah.
And there's also that thing we got from
Rushi.
From Rushi, yeah. You blew that up?
I just feel like if it fits in there, it should work.
But it's Japan. It's not here. They've got a whole different set of stuff over there.
I feel like there should be one power supply.
You mean the thing didn't come with a power supply?
No.
You know, you can get one of those for like $10 somewhere.
Well, it's too late now.
Oh, Lord. But... why don't we just see what we're playing next week? Let's get out of this. Ooh, yeah! Dig it! It's savage!
You know, I've flown with the eagles and slithered with the snakes.
That's right. The cream rises to the top. Savage. That's my Macho Man Savage right there. Yeah,
that's right, Happy.
Happy's grilling you,
yeah,
Chad.
That's you're dead on.
You ever heard of Savage, by the way?
Yeah, we just talked about him.
I mean, I don't mean Macho Man. I mean this game that we're playing next week, Savage.
Never.
What do we know what week is next week?
You know, there's a lot of games on the Amiga that have one word titles. Rarely are they good.
You got to admit, that's a cool logo.
Yeah, it looks
it's
like
the in-game logo. I thought it looked cooler than the box.
That's not
so
what
I ripped. I mean, still, it looks cool. I don't know anything about this game. Is it an RPG? Is it a? Do we have any idea what it is?
An action title.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
I like action.
Mm-hmm.
Any closing thoughts this week, Boat, as we start the fresh, shiny new year?
Well, do you want to give everybody an update about the Sunday shows?
Nah, we'll get to it. I mean, We're changing around the Patreon stuff on the Sunday shows, but if you're a Patreon, you can check a Discord, or we'll be talking about it more when we get to one of the shows. We're recording an R. Sinclair Sunday, and we'll get into it again.
Okay. Well, as always, if you'd like to support Amigos, you can head on over to patreon.com/AmigosPodcast. $4 a month gets you access to our Discord server, an ad-free version of the podcast, and a cool Christmas card magnet at the end of the year. So
it's beautiful, yeah.
We'd love to have you join our community. And guys, we will see you next week. Until then, adios.
Amigos is made possible by contributions from listeners like you. Patreon supporters help choose the games we play, receive exclusive magnets, and get access to the Amigos Retro Gaming Discord server. Visit patreon.com/AmigosPodcast if you'd like to support the show and join our community.